We thank you, our Father, for a word that's clear, for a spirit that has promised not only to inspire the writing, but to illuminate the hearing. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be found acceptable, accurately in line with your word, for you are the only teacher and God the Father in whom we pray. Amen. Talk about a word that we use all the time, but just because it's familiar doesn't mean we really know what it means, and that's the word faith. You hear it all the time. To have faith. Keep the faith. You've got to have faith. I need a little more faith. But often we use a word and we don't think about it much. This passage, Jesus and the lepers, which is only found in Luke, I think speaks a lot about faith. On first glance, and hopefully at the end of the sermon, you'll understand why at the first glance, but largely not untrue. At first glance, it looks like it's more about gratitude, but it's truly about faith. The story has us where Jesus is walking, basically from Luke 9 until the crucifixion. It's all about the last journey that Jesus has to Jerusalem. And on the way, he tells a lot of stories that are unique to Luke. Luke has this story. Along the way, we have the story of the prodigal son. We have many important stories along the way, and this one is equally important. And he's going along the way, and he's met by some lepers, we see in verse 12. He is walking a thin path between Galilee and Samaria. It would be akin to sort of back 130 years ago, walking that thin line that we call the Mason-Dixon line. He's walking this thin line between Galilee and Samaria, and it's a perfect place to teach about faith. And I simply want to go through this passage and bring out a couple, three things about faith. The first thing I want to say, or allow the scripture to say about faith, is that faith is reliance upon Jesus alone. Faith is far more than believing. It is not enough to believe in Jesus. It's not enough to believe in God. That's fairly cheap to say that. In fact, James would tell us that not only is it not enough, that demons believe. And they believe with a level of intensity that it shakes their whole body. You'll be hard-pressed to find anyone, even anyone, especially in our Christian nation, who won't say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe in God." Belief's not enough. Faith. We talk about sola fide. It's not belief, it's faith. The distinction that the scripture uses, though there is an important part for belief, belief is a confession or a mental assent to something being true. I believe that peanut butter is a lot better than chocolate. That's a belief. I mentally assent to it. But the faith that we have is not just a mental assent, or what Luther called a historical faith, much like we may believe that George Washington was our first president. We don't believe in Jesus in the same way. Faith is reliance. And what we see here in this passage are these lepers who had no viability in the society. Being a leper, and that's just a term referring in general to diseases of the skin, but it made them an outcast. They were physically in pain, tremendous pain, would often lose noses and fingers and ears. It made them socially outcast. No one wanted to look upon a leper. It made them religiously profane. They were unclean. In fact, they had to, if religious folk were passing by, they had to three times cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." So here they are with really no hope, no cause for joy, no cause for happiness. No one really wants a leper around. You want to look the other way. You want to pretend that it only happens to other people. But here they are in the midst, and they have to be interacted with. But they won't let Jesus alone. We see in verse 12, they had faith. For in verse 12 it says, as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers. They came to him. And they stood at a distance. They had to. Their leprosy made it so. And they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In the Greek, it's in the present tense, which means they didn't just say it once. They're calling over and over. They're crying out like one would on a deserted island when the only boat in sight is going by. They're calling out, have mercy, have mercy. They are relying completely on Jesus Christ. That's what faith is. It's relying completely on Jesus Christ. Let me give you two examples that will help you see it. You can look at the chair you are sitting in, and you can say, I believe that chair will hold me. It looks sturdy. I don't see any missing bolts. All the pieces seem to be in place. It's on level ground. I believe it will hold me. But you're still standing even with that belief, right? Faith would be like you acting upon that belief and going over and plopping down with all 300 pounds of whatever you might be. You just plop on it and you trust it. You rely upon it. The other analogy that I think is probably one of the best about faith is the bank robber, and you've heard this quote, Willie Sutton, who robbed banks for a living. And as an older man, he was being interviewed after a long tenure in prison, and they asked him a very profound question. Psychologists, who are full of profundities, thought that they would get at the heart of what troubled Willie, what motivated him. You sort of get the picture of Barney Fife trying to find out what was going on in the psyche of Otis Campbell. And his psychologist is talking to Willie Sutton, and they're probing, and they say, Mr. Sutton, why did you rob banks? That was quite clear. He simply said, that's where the money is. That's where the money is. And brothers and sisters, the lepers were smart enough to know that's where the healing is. That's where the peace is. That's where the salvation is. And I don't care if anyone else will give me any validity. I don't care if I make a fool out of myself. I don't care if I push social mores by getting a little close. I'm going to pester him until he saves me. Because that's where the healing is. And faith is that clinging, holding on. As Peter says in John 6, I have nowhere else to go, so you're stuck with me, Lord. Stuck like glue. Faith is reliance. But the second thing we see is not only faith reliance, faith is progressive vulnerability. Faith is progressive vulnerability. I was going to say faith is progressive risk, but it's not a risk. For it's saying it's a risk would contradict what we said in verse 1. We know it's not a risk because it's a promise that's true. But we do become more vulnerable. Verse 14, we read here that when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, this is the only thing at the beginning Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. They didn't want to do that. See, lepers didn't want to run into the priest. See, lepers could not be readmitted into the religious community. Lepers could not re-enter society until a priest declared them to be absolutely, thoroughly clean. That's not a problem if you're absolutely and thoroughly clean. But if you're a leper and you know you're a leper and someone simply says, why don't you go and see the priest? It'd be like someone telling you, and you know you've cooked the books, hey, why don't you call up an IRS auditor? Invite them over for lunch. You don't want to have exposure to those who may judge you. So really what Jesus tells them is not very comforting. He doesn't say, I can cleanse you. He says, you go and put yourself in a vulnerable position. The priest, it was totally up to them. There was no criteria that they used. There was some, but there was leeway. They looked at the moles and this coloration and things. But at the end of the day, it was like an umpire who said, it's not a ball, it's not a strike until I say it so. The priest had that. And Jesus says, here's the help I have. Go and show yourself to the priest. And what we see here, even in the English and even more clearly in the Greek, they were not healed when he said that. So he is telling 10 lepers that in the state in which he says it would have been condemned by the high priest. He says, go. And they go based on his word. And along the way, they're healed. See it in verse 14? It even comes out. Go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. See, faith grows as it's lived in two. Faith doesn't look at the obstacles. Faith hears the word that says, go. Billy Graham tells a story of talking to a lady in the church that he grew up in who just seemed to, even though she had had a difficult life, she just sort of reeked of faith. I mean, you couldn't be around her without smelling faith. I mean, she was just faithful. And he asked this older lady one time, how did you have so much faith? And she said, well, I don't think I had a lot of faith. I just am stupid. And that took him back. What do you mean you're stupid? Well, when God tells me to do something, I guess I'm sort of stupid. I just figure he wants me to do it. And if he says go, and this is a quote, he says go and jump through that wall, I just trust that even though it looks solid to me, that if I jump before I get there, God will open a hole. Brothers and sisters, that's faith. It's that vulnerability. It's leaning into life even when it doesn't make sense. It's going to see the priest even when you look and see you're leprous. But at your word, I'll go. It's jumping into the darkness and knowing you're going to be okay. Abraham was called to leave and go to a country. He didn't know where he was going to go. I wonder what his neighbors thought. What would you think if you went home today and your neighbors were packing up? U-Haul was there. They're packing up and said, oh, you moving? Yeah. Where are you going? Oh, I don't know. Are you worried? No. Why? God said move. Where are you going? I don't know. That's faith. See, faith is that, and it flows from that total reliance. If I totally rely on God, then it's okay to be vulnerable because I know I can't fail because it's not based on my cleanliness. It's based on the one who promised. I'm not going forth on my initiation. I'm going forth because he said, go to the priest. A willingness to be vulnerable. Then we see the third thing. They go, and they're healed. And as they were going along, it says that, verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, fell on his feet, face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. The third thing that I want to say about faith is that blessings aren't based on having faith. Blessings are not based on having faith. I have to say this as a teacher in today's world. Go home, if you did, I'm not encouraging you to do this, but if you turn on many religious programs, most religious programs, they're going to communicate a certain message to you that if you have enough faith, the sky's the limit. If you have enough faith, if you believe God enough, it'll work out. Brothers and sisters, that's not at all what the Scriptures teach. That's not at all what our life screams. And it puts people in a bind because they see other people succeeding and say, well, they must have more faith than I do because look at my sorry life. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie when Peter said to Jesus in Matthew 16, Lord, you'll never have to suffer because you've got plenty of faith, so you'll never have to suffer. You remember what Jesus said to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. It's Satan's lie that we don't have to suffer in life. The truth is, we suffer, but because of Jesus Christ, the suffering is redemptive. Because He showed on the cross that suffering is redemptive. See, the blessings come upon all of them. How many of the lepers were cleansed? 10. All of them. But only one came back. Jesus doesn't rebuke the 9 that didn't. He asks where they are. He's curious. But let me put on your biblical theological thinking caps. Do you think when the one came back and Jesus saw, oh, there's one, where are the other 9? Do you think at that moment the other 9 had their leprosy returned? No. Blessings fall upon all. The good and the not so good are blessed. Jesus says in Matthew, the rain and the sunshine, that which is necessary for harvest, falls on all people. We're all more blessed than we deserve. We don't earn our blessings, or they wouldn't be blessings. You don't clean up your act and then you get God's goodness. You get God's goodness because of His goodness. See, they were all cleansed. Now, it's interesting if you think about this. I really didn't think about this until last month. I've been studying it all week, and it just sort of jumped out. Actually, this one returning leper disobeyed Jesus, didn't he? Jesus told him to go see the priest. He not only disobeyed Jesus, the other 9 could say, we're the ones that kept the law. We're the ones that obeyed Jesus. You didn't obey Jesus. He said, go see priests. He didn't say, come back to me. The other thing the priest did by coming, the leper did by coming back to Jesus is he jeopardized the fact that he was going to be declared clean. He needed a priest to declare him clean. But he wanted to circle back. Even more than he wanted to be declared clean. And that leads to the fourth point. Blessings aren't based on having faith, but salvation is. Salvation is. Because you see at the end of this story, in verse 19, he may have jeopardized being declared righteous by the priest, but he was declared well by Jesus. And I'll take Jesus' judgment over a priest's judgment any day of the week. And in verse 19, Jesus said, and Jesus said unto him, rise and go your way, for your faith has made you well. See, if you look in verse 14, all of the lepers were cleansed. But if you look in verse 19, only one of them is made well. And wouldn't you know it, if you look in the Greek, there are two separate words. And the word for made well in verse 19 is sozo, the word that we get soteriology or salvation He was saved. Not because he was cleansed. He was saved because his faith brought him back to Jesus. Our salvation comes from not being clean, not being judged okay by everyone else, not having a certificate suitable for framing from the high priest of the land. Our salvation comes from gratitude and faith coming back to Jesus Christ. You see the joy of faith? The leper knew he was unworthy. Luke knew he was unworthy. Luke points out in verse 16, just in case we missed it, don't forget this was a Samaritan. Someone by definition, besides being a leper, he was a two-time loser when it came to the holiness game. He was a leper and he was a Samaritan. His joy wasn't because he could check the right boxes off in his lineage or his behavior. His joy came because he found Jesus Christ. Not as only as the one who blessed him, but as the one who saved him. And it made him happy. Verse 16, when he came, it says, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And every one of you knows the Greek word there for thanks. The Greek word there for thanks is eurisko, which we get the English word Eucharist, or the Lord's table. His joy is running over. Jesus said in another place in the Gospels, in Matthew 8, that the greatest faith he had ever found wasn't from a religious person. The greatest faith he had ever found wasn't from a pious temple attender. The greatest faith that Jesus had ever found was in a hard-drinking, foul mouth, non-believing Roman centurion who knew this about faith. He knew that faith was reliance. He knew that faith was vulnerability. He knew that faith didn't determine blessings, but it did salvation. And he said to Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. Just say the word, and I'll be healed. Just say the word, and that's enough. Faith is clinging to that. But what we see, it's not something we can do intellectually. I want you to understand that the leper could have been grateful for what happened and not made well if he hadn't turned back. He could have said, well, that was a nice thing that man did, and kept walking. But he appropriated, he came back to Jesus. Our faith is that gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to not so much sit in the chair, but get on board. And then we can ride all the way to life eternal.
Jordan is picking up passengers coast to coast. Well, faith is the key, open the doors and boredom. There's hope for all among those loved the most. But there ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner, for there is no hiding against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
As that song sings, you understand that our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is not that which gets us into heaven. In that song, it's not the faith that gets you there, it's the train that gets you there. The faith just gets you to get on board because you believe and rely. See, we don't believe in our faith. We don't find assurance in our faith. We find assurance in the one in whom our faith is placed. That's why we just need it a little bit, like a mustard seed. It's not the size of our faith, it's the object of our faith, which is Jesus Christ. I heard someone say, watching a little football last evening, that someone, his daddy and his granddaddy were coaches, and they said, well, he's just ridden in on his coattails. I thought, you know what? At least he's in. And to mix the metaphor, because in Isaiah we're talking about trains, and we're not talking about that type of trains. But brothers and sisters, faith is understanding that our accessibility into the things of the Lord, both in this life and the next life, is that we are in on the coattails, the train of Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to give himself for us, so that when we come to this table, we can also give thanks. For on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and having given thanks, he blessed it and he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and having given thanks, he blessed it and he distributed it and said, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness and remission of all your sins, the blood of a new covenant. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you drink this blood and eat this bread, you participate of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, thank you, thank you for coming to us. And now, by you, and through you, and in you, we come to the Father. We come to the table of Jesus Christ. We believe, O Lord, not because of what we see, not because of what we are. We believe because we have been instructed by the Holy Spirit. Our hearts have been strangely warmed over. We are persuaded by your Spirit that your word is eternal. And when you say, we are well, we're well. When you say, we are forgiven, we are forgiven. And when you say that we are the righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus, we are exactly that.
We don't backtalk your word. We fully rely in the veracity of what you say. Speak the word, and we will be healed. Amen.